Blog Talk Radio.
Who lurks in the hearts of men forevermore? Hangman Brooks, rough and rugged, he be giving it raw. Yeah, Hangman Brooks, play the game on and off the field. Hangman Brooks, now let's talk football because he's keeping it real with Hangman Brooks.
The AFCA Coaches Poll has determined who's number one for more than 60 years, and it's the only poll chosen by the men who know the game best, the coaches on the sidelines. The teams of the Amway Coaches Poll dominate the headlines, and the poll's association with USA Today Sports means these rankings are on the minds of national and local experts. Fans can vote and get involved, too. With the Amway Fan Poll, fans can make their team and their fan base number one. The road to crowning the Amway Coaches Poll champion has already begun. The coaches are ready. Are you? Get in on the excitement at amway.com/coaches poll. The AFCA Coaches Poll has determined who's number one for more than 60 years. And it's the only poll chosen by the men who know the game best, the coaches on the sidelines. The teams of the Amway Coaches Poll dominate the headlines. And the poll's association with USA Today Sports means these rankings are on the minds of national and local experts. Fans can vote and get involved, too. With the Amway Fan Poll, fans can make their team and their fan base number one. The road to crowning the Amway Coaches Poll champion has already begun. The coaches are ready. Are you? Get in on the excitement at amway.com/coaches poll.
Yeah.
Legendary, and that's what we're bringing to y'all today. Man, it's been a lot of controversy out here recently about these refs in the game, man. These refs in the game, about the players. I mean, I done seen some funny memes right now on Facebook and Twitter about about the Redskins not even being able to celebrate correctly. But what's going on, Brooks? How you doing?
Doing great, Bob. Doing great, man. Doing great. Wonderful day. Family affair. We are a family. That's our theme song. And happy to be here. Good Lord woke me up today.
Uh-huh.
Take one day at a time.
Yes, yes.
But I'm blessed, and I feel great.
That's what's up. That's what's up. The one and only legendary Hangman Brooks in the building. Doing what he do. Let's talk football. So, I mean, I ain't even going to hold back any, man. Let's get right into it, man.
I'm a little different. I'm a little different from most people about the referee thing. It's just me. It's not whether somebody's right or wrong. It's just the way I conduct it. When I played minor league ball, I played under NFL rules. I play and coach under NFL rules, so I understand the rules. As far as I'm concerned, I know it's going to be hard for anybody to believe, but the years I coach football, I never hollered at a referee. I never cursed at a referee, rant and rave about a call that the referee made. I'm wide a little different. And the reason why that is because when a referee makes a bad call, and when people start complaining, it spills over to the next play, then the next play. It's a good excuse for losers when they make bad calls and play is resumed, and then two plays later, they're still thinking about that bad call. So they're looking for an excuse to say, well, we lose the game. If the referees hadn't cheated, we'd have won.
Is that all players? I mean, is that all players that do that kind of thing, or are more players like you?
Well, what happens is very, I don't know anybody like me that coached that never said a thing to a referee. Now, when a referee made a good call, I started bragging and ranting and raving about how great he is. He should be in the NFL. He's the greatest referee I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
But when I had bad calls go against me, I didn't say anything. My players will tell you they were not allowed to say anything to a referee. 3 years I had the Bulls, we never had a 15-yard penalty for disrespecting referees. You keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
Because all you're doing is looking for an excuse when you lose to say blame on the referees. If they make a bad call, you forget about it and take it out of the referee's hand.
Right.
And that's the way I used to look at it. You know, I can't get into the referee cheat. The referee cheat. That's a bad call. So what is a bad call? So what?
Right.
So what? Move on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Losing teams use that excuse a lot.
Yeah.
We almost won. The referee cheated. The coach is stupid.
Uh-huh.
We need another quarterback.
But how do you, I mean, mentally, like, okay, somebody get a bad call. You out there, you playing your heart out. You playing your heart out. You get a bad call on the ref. How do you bring yourself back mentally from that in the game?
Well,
all you thinking about is, damn.
Everybody's different. You know, I can't speak for anybody else. I can't say anybody is different. But I'm very different from most people because when referees, and I got a lot of calls, 15-yard penalties and stuff, I never said anything to the refs because if I start thinking about the bad calls, especially when I'm coaching a team, if I start ranting about a bad call, it filters to the player. Then the players start talking about the referee cheating. Then the coaches start referee cheating. Then after a while, some people quit because they'll quit in the middle of the game saying, we're going to lose anyway. The referees keep cheating. So,
wow.
So I don't want to never use that excuse. The reason why we lost is because the referee cheated. I'm not going for that. And my players, they'll come on. They'll tell you, I didn't play that. Because guess what? For every bad call that a referee made, there's 10 calls, there's 10 plays I can look at where the player messed up.
Oh, right.
Players messed up, coaches messed up. It's played by humans, it's coached by humans,
right.
Referee by humans. Human beings make mistakes, right?
Right.
But everybody wants the referee to be perfect, but you're not perfect as a player.
Right.
You're not perfect as a coach.
Right, and that's real. And that's really how real life is.
That's just
yeah.
me. It's not that's where everybody should be. It's
right.
just me.
Yeah. So right now what we're going to do is call in 929-477-2975. Let us hear what you think about the refs, about how they make their calls, what's been going on in the league lately. And we'll get you in, get your word heard, and we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. I mean, if there's anything out there that needs to be done or changed, we'll address those issues right here.
One thing, they need to make the referees full-time. That's not a full-time job.
Oh, see, that'll change the game because they'll have more dedication into it. Yeah, definitely. So we got a short little break coming, and we'll be right back with you with Let's Talk Football with Hangman Brooks. Thank you. So we are back now. We have our first caller in the call log, Mr. Frankie Baylor. And welcome to the call, Mr. Baylor. How you doing? Mr. Frankie Baylor, are you there? Mr. Baylor? Hello, Frankie, are you there? Hello? Well, we don't seem to have Mr. Baylor right now. Hey, how you doing, Mr. Baylor? Are you there? We're going to try to get him one more time on the line. But we were going to talk to Frankie about, you know, what he thinks about the refs, you know, what he thinks Hangman sideline present, and how he, you know, did what he did out on the field. Yeah, yeah. So we just making it happen right now for you. We dialing Mr. Baylor right now. And we're going to get him on the line. But, I mean, the refs, I mean, that call, I mean, when we go back to it, here we go. We got Mr. Baylor, Mr. Frankie Baylor, right here online with us right now. How you doing, Mr. Baylor? Are you there? Are you there?
To send your message now, press pound. To mark the message private, press 1. To mark the message urgent, press 4.
So we couldn't get Mr. Baylor on the phone right now. But what do you think about that hit, though? That hit that they gave the Redskins that penalty for that unnecessary roughness, that call right there. What do you think about that?
Well, the way I think about it is when referees make bad calls, I'm the type of person, it's a bad call, I see it, I don't like it, I move on. Because, play, they took a touchdown back from the Redskins. They took it back. And,
right.
And the Redskins, the air
that hurt us.
But the air went out of the Redskins, and by the third quarter, they were
deflated.
They were so sick and tired of the calls they weren't getting in the third quarter. They looked like they quit, and I can tell when people quit because they don't want to tackle nobody. What they'll do is they let people run by and tackle them. They don't come off blocks. They don't scrape and come off blocks. It's like they don't have any life in them. But the thing about it is, when you get bad calls, the good teams move on. The Patriots had a bad call. The referee blew whistle.
Yeah.
And that has happened in games. What did the Patriots do? They went on and won the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
After the game, the coach didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real. That's real. And I guess that's what the difference is and what's going to separate, you know, the two teams. Yeah. But, I mean, with everything included, you know, the Redskins aren't having a great season. You know, they on level with the division, but not really having a good season. All of that kind of go into account too.
Well, look at it this way. Everybody, they look at it one way about their team. When they beat the Saints last week, 44-14, were the referees cheating for the Redskins? Is that why they won?
That's a good question. Okay. You know, I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, because that's your team.
Right.
But I'm saying, I don't like excuses for losing.
Yeah.
If you lose, I don't blame anybody. I'm gonna tell you what happened to me. The first year I took over, they were last place. When I took over, we went to the championship right away because I had 30 new ball players. The first year we lost the championship game, and you know why we lost the championship game?
Why?
Because I was a terrible coach. I had a terrible game plan. I stunk up the place.
Yeah.
I don't blame the players. I don't blame the referees. I don't blame anybody. I blame myself. I was a horrible coach.
Yeah.
I had a horrible game plan, and we lost the game. It was close, but we lost because guess what? I was terrible. A lot of men, a lot of people, coaches not going to take their responsibility. Not only that, I promised the Lord, four white people I know real good, if I see that team again, it'll never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
The next year we saw them in the playoffs, we scored 34 points in the second quarter.
Wow.
Because I did my homework.
Yeah.
See? And with some calls that were questionable in the game. Yeah. But you All know right. what?
That's every game.
Yeah. Guess what? But it's my fault. Probably lost.
Yeah.
You know, I can say we had a touchdown call back because they said one of our players went on the line of scrimmage. We didn't have seven people on the line of scrimmage. I didn't rant and rave.
Right.
Okay. Because if you spend a lot of energy worrying about the past,
yeah,
how can you move on?
Right.
If you have a winning organization or a winning team, they always believe when they see something bad, they're going to overcome it.
Right.
When you get that mentality saying, look, I don't care what they call, we're going to overcome it.
Right.
One game, I had three touchdowns called back.
Wow.
So
three?
So I scored four more.
Now, that's a game plan right there. That's a game plan right there. That's how you do it, man. That's exactly how you do it. I mean, that's real. That's determination, though. That takes skill. That takes that mindset.
Well, look, Bob, everybody can't. You know, everybody's wired different. I'm not criticizing anybody. I just don't worry about referees' calls. When people say, are they bad calls? Well, look at my players drop the ball. People not blocking. Quarterbacks throwing interceptions. You know,
right.
People not tackling people. You know, I could think of a million reasons why we lose. If a referee, you know, the Redskins, the reason why they lost the game is they only got 14 yards rushing. They couldn't stop the run.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't stop the pass.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, they were doing great.
Yeah.
They just couldn't stop anything. So we just, let's point to the referees. Like,
yeah, because we got spanked, man. We got spanked. I mean, I felt like I was taking a beating out there.
Yeah, well, you know, like the Saints. Last week when the Redskins played the Saints quit.
Yeah.
And you know how I can tell?
Uh-huh.
When they were running the ball, the Saints players did not want to tackle.
Yeah.
It's called a matador tackle. You let the man run by, and I'm going to try to get him from the side.
Matador.
You don't want that, right?
So
you can see that in players, right? And when the Redskins crushed.
That's called the matador.
Matador.
So what, it's like when you come in the door of a house, like they wipe their feet off on the mat, and they open up the door, and
it's
they
like
step to the side
it's like
pole.
It's like the bullfighter. Y'all got to excuse Bob. He's a bad dude, but his football knowledge is challenged. if you look, the same thing happened to them. And the Saints, they had a false sense of security. The Saints defense is the worst in the NFL.
Oh, wow.
So when they scored those points, they jumped up there and said, get ready to go to the Super Bowl. But you know.
We were feeling it. Yeah. I was feeling it. I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But you know what? We always good for like one of those a year. We get one team where we just do something real nasty to them.
Yeah.
At least once a year, you know.
Yeah. Well, and let me say this about the Redskins. And a lot of people know I don't like the Redskins. But I'm going to tell you something. When they won the Super Bowl, I didn't like them, but I respect them.
Right.
The Redskins don't have a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And I can prove it to you. There's three types of football players in the NFL. It's the superstar. It's the player. And it's the average player. The superstar shows up every week. The good players are consistent. The average players, 1 week he play good, next week he don't.
Uh-huh.
They have a lot of ball players. You can't name one person on defense. Every week he's killing somebody.
Right.
Kerrigan
is
a good ball player, but he's not. They call him the showstopper.
Yeah,
What show did he stop? Howdy doody? I mean, what show did he stop?
Man, he be getting it out there, man. Yeah. He be getting it.
He getting it, but guess what?
He by himself.
No. He don't do it every game. Some games he disappeared.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
When they play New England, he disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
He Houdini on me. Right?
Uh-huh. You
but
ain't lying.
What I'm saying is he's not a bad player. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll make him a superstar.
Right.
You know, so.
That speaks for the whole team then.
If I was coaching that team, there's only about 12 people on that team that I would want on my team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have they don't have a superstar on defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. they have a lot of average players where week in and week out they show up.
Right.
On offense, they have some good players, but the problem is the offensive line stinks.
Yeah.
They got one man, all-pro tackle. The rest of them guys, man, they ain't going to throw rice at a Chinese wedding. You know, they ain't going to step on a welcome mat.
Oh, man. They ain't going to fight their way out of a wet paper bag, huh?
But one thing about the division, people beat each other in the division.
Yeah.
So.
And you're saying that that's probably clear across the board where they have that.
That's what
that,
it is.
Yeah.
They know
they
you.
All that's,
they
yeah.
know you, yeah. So the Redskins, they'll beat the Giants, and the Giants will beat them, and Philadelphia will beat the Cowboys. I mean, that's the way it is. Now, here's mm-hmm. another misconception about the Redskins and the Cowboys. Redskins' rivalry is the Cowboys.
Right.
If you go to Texas, their rivalry is Philadelphia. They don't see the Redskins as a rivalry anymore.
Oh, wow.
A rivalry is when you beat me and I beat you, you beat me and I beat you. But they played 120, they played 120 times, and the Cowboys, they won two-thirds of it.
Oh, wow.
Over the years. So now the Cowboys are always in Philadelphia. Philadelphia and the Cowboys really look at Philadelphia as a nemesis.
Yeah.
They look at the Redskins as, oh, we can beat them.
Right. And I think that's more so because there's so many fans here that are just Cowboys fans and Redskins fans, and we clash in the city.
We're fans.
Within ourselves.
The way D.C. is changing, people moving.
Yeah.
You got a lot of fans like Miami.
Yeah.
They had a lot of people from Miami, so it's people come and live and go and whatever. So that's exactly, you know, the way it is. When the Cowboys come here, it looks like a Cowboy home game.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Redskins can beat the Cowboys because guess what? They get up for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They get up for them.
Yeah.
But then next week, the little sisters of the poor can beat them.
Exactly.
It's the same thing with the Giants. The Giants right. will go out and kill Philadelphia, and Washington will beat them.
Right.
That division, I don't care who it is, every division. When the Steelers were great teams, Cincinnati used to beat them every year.
Mm-hmm.
See? The 49ers, the Rams used to beat them every year. So, you know.
That's how within divisions,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it's looking like we have an opportunity, you know what I mean? But we'll be right back with Let's Talk Football with Hangman Brooks right here. We live at Wheaton Mall today, Wheaton Westfield Shopping Center.
The 2014 college football season was one of the most exciting in years. Amway and USA Today capitalized on that with the Amway Coaches Poll's cross-platform success in driving enthusiasm and engagement in the sport and the Amway brand.
Go Tigers!
Go no, baby!
Let's go!
The Amway Coaches Poll, college football at its best, with key analysis from top USA Today experts. Exclusive events with storied coaches.
Please rise and welcome two of the all-time giants of college football coaching, Howard Schnellenberger and Bobby Bowden.
I get letters from kids I coached 50 years ago. None of them mention football. They mention the things you taught them.
If you're going to play football, you've got to understand that the team is more important than you are.
There's not a lot of differences between what you guys as IBOs do and what we as head coaches do.
And the reveal of the first college football playoff.
It's been quite a season in college football. The college football playoff selection committee has spoken. You guys called it, and the coaches poll called it.
The Amway Coaches Poll and USA Today, the symbol of supremacy in college football.
Go, 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 go.
Sometimes you just feel tired. You feel weak. And when you feel weak, you feel like you want to give up. But you gotta search you. Try to find that inner strength to pull that inside of you and get that motivation to knock it.
I'm feeling these rats as long as you feel them. Till the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing them. Cause when I am not, then I'ma stop pinning them. And I am not hip hop, and I'm just not Eminem. Subliminal thoughts when I'ma stop spinning them. Women are caught in wet, venom and hawk venom. Adrenaline, the penicillin could not get the illin to stop. A mock the ceiling's just not killing them. The criminal cop killing hip hop, filling a minimal swap. The cop, millions of box listeners. You coming with me, feel it or not.
Yes, 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 yes. We are back live with Hangman Brooks. We in the building. We in Westfield Shopping Plaza. We have a caller right now that's calling in. Thank you for calling. You are now live with Hangman Brooks on Let's Talk Football. Kill the head, the body or die. How you doing today, sir?
Hello?
Hello, hey. How you doing today, sir?
It's going great. Hey, Brooks this day.
Oh, that's one of my linebackers.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, how was Brooks on the sideline with the coaching and everything, like with the referees? Like, how was he, you know, when it came down to the referees' calls?
Brooks was, as you know, probably from his personality, I caught the end of it earlier. He didn't hang too long on the referees' calls. Ref make a call, we got to come back and we got to execute, you know, as players. Not a whole lot of fuss in the fighting with the refs. But he would let them know, you know, that you made a bad call. But bottom line is we got to go out, execute, make a play, you know, whatever that is, offensively or defensively. One thing about Brooks, you know, he always talked about, you know, making plays. You got to step up. You got to make big plays. If you make big plays, we ain't worried about the refs.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about the referees, you know, calls now in the league? How do you think that they're doing? Do you think that they're doing a good job, a poor job? What do you think?
Well, I think the refs, you know, I guess right now their main priorities is one, safety. You know, and I got that. The different levels of refs, you know, because I'm a coach in the area, high school ball. The different levels of the refs allow, you know, a little bit more leniency. In the NFL, sometimes I just think that they're so concerned, you know, with the media and the new rule changes that some of the calls do restrict maybe a old school type player that's really trying to lay hat and just make a good, real hard nose hit, because a hard nose hit can be a game changer within itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes a lot of the players that probably would have, you know, just came in, maybe just blown somebody up, maybe they're a little bit hesitant because of the call or the potential, you know, call that the ref would make. And then that could be detrimental to what it is you're trying to do.
Right, right. Hey, so what about the bounties that they had out there that Brooks had out there for y'all?
Man, Brooks something up. He's something up. Well, I tell you.
What about them bounties, man? What was that like?
Is a player one, you know, I appreciate Brooks, you know, give me an opportunity to play, because for me at that time I was going through a transition of coming out of college ball, but I still wanted to play, and I wanted to play on a professional level. So playing, you know, in the minor league, you know, allowed you to stay in shape but play against some of the best competition. So what Brooks did with our team, which I'm sure you know, we won the national championship and only one in D.C. to go undefeated in doing that, is his personality as a coach, you know, bled over into the players. So, you know, he was a hardcore, trash-talking, take-no-mess type of coach. You know, you played by his rules. You know, you didn't get nothing. You had to earn it. And you actually had real trials with those teams in that league back then. You know, you just came out, had your equipment, and just let you play. And he wasn't going for that. It was a professional organization. You know, we had insurance and all those things that a lot of the other teams in the leagues didn't have. So, but there was a big rivalry in D.C. at the time with some of the other big minor league programs like the Stonewalls in D.C., the Baltimore Bears. And it was always a real big game. A lot of trash talking leading up to the game because, you know, this league has been around for, you know, decades. And so Brooks basically, you know, he said that, look, anybody that comes in here knocks out the quarterback, and I don't know if I should say the quarterback's name, you know, I got something for him. so, 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 and he meant it, and we knew he meant it, and we knew what that meant. As a rookie player, because I was a rookie, and I was, you know, like I said, I was going to the Arena League, and World League was real big at that time, and that was a perfect goal for me because of my size and speed and everything. So he said, if anybody, you know, take care of this quarterback, I got something for you. So I ended up getting in the game because a player got hurt. So I was playing a left defensive end. And I'm about 250, 255. So just anticipating snap count, beat the left play, left tackle, came off, caught him on the right angle in a sack. And I just got in. I'm coming off the bench. Okay, I'm coming off the bench. All right. Then the very next play, I'm psyched because, you know, this is my opportunity to play and my opportunity to show what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm on this team. So, again, came off the ball, beat the left tackle with a quick move, went past the fullback, and I caught the quarterback right underneath his armpit on top of the collarbone, knocked him out, actually broke his collarbone. Wow. And we won that game. I don't remember the score, but it was a real big game, probably a couple thousand people there. And we was playing East. And at the end of the night, I got my envelope.
That's what's up, man. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. When they closed out the deal, huh,
hey,
Brooks?
Hey, yeah, he definitely closed it up.
Yeah, thanks for calling us. And guess what? Yeah, thank you, man, because guess what? We had money to give out. If you're willing to go out and, you know, I say this all the time. If you're nervous, join the church service. You're scared, stay in bed.
Hey.
That's right.
Get people with violent, you must be violent and a lot of conviction. You got to be mean and nasty. And if you don't want to hurt anybody, go play checkers.
You're in the wrong game.
Yeah.
But thanks for calling, Dave, man. Hey, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks,
Dave. Thank you, man. Great show. Great show. You all.
Great ball player.
Nice, nice. So you had the chance of coaching Dave. That's nice, man. So we're going to take one more quick little interlude for you, and then we're going to come back with Frankie Baylor online for you. So stay tuned as we continue to bring you Let's Talk Football with Hankman Brooks. How you doing, Mr. Baylor? How you doing?
Fine. How are you today?
We doing great. We doing amazing. We here with Hangman Brooks. We just was talking about how he was on the field, on the sideline, with the coaches, with the referees. How did he conduct himself?
He could. One thing about Mr. Brooks, he learned the rules. The rest of the coaches didn't know the rules. So Mr. Brooks had a great idea of how the game is supposed to be played and how the game was supposed to be called. He never gave a referee a bad time. He always tried to help the referee and control his ball players.
That's amazing. So you do live up to the legendary work, huh?
Say that again.
Wow. I said, so he does live up to his word.
Live up to his words.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. So how was it with you and him playing together, and how?
I didn't play with Frankie.
Oh,
but Frankie was a referee.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
he wanted a referee.
Oh, nice. Nice, Frankie. Yeah, we got you on here. Wow. So how was the game? I mean, how was the game? How was the game from then and now?
Well, it's different types now. A lot of the rules done change. It used to be a certain type of rules, but now the rules have changed. I guess it was to make the game faster. But they not doing a pretty good job. I looked at a few calls on the game Sunday that shouldn't have been called against the Redskins. But the rules done changed, so you got to bend with the rules.
Yeah, see, he on my side with the Redskins.
No, but I was telling him, I understand how coaches are, but I don't care if I had bad calls. I never said anything to the referees, never.
He never did. That's one good thing I can say about the young man. He was about his job and about his business. He learned what you're supposed to do, and he did it. And it didn't take no foolishness from none of his ball players about hollering at the referees, because he did not. He was controlling.
Right.
These was not children. These was grown men that he was controlling. And he did a wonderful job. I wish these coaches today would do the same thing.
How was Hangman Brooks as a player?
As a player?
Yes, sir.
What he did his job. He went out there to win.
Yeah.
He did exactly what he had to do to win.
I know, that's right. Yeah, I hear the story. How was he on the field?
He was controllable to some people, and those that wasn't playing the game right, he wasn't controllable to them.
Mm-hmm.
But he did what he had to do to win. And that's the important thing. When you show leadership on a football field, people respect you and think a lot about you.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, hey, Mr. Baylor, thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for speaking with us. We look to have you on future shows as well. And thanks so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Frankie. Always respect,
my
man.
Always have that.
You're my mentor, man. Love you.
I love you too, big guy. Take care of yourself now. Thank you.